Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am that you chose to be with me on this beautiful, beautiful day, October the 13th, 2018. Why do you teach? This is the question. I get quite a few of these from people who don't know me or first-time listeners, so I think we'll have some fun today. I want to remind you that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely, along with our TV programs, by your contributions, your tax-deductible gifts. We are in our year-end drive. We are seeking to raise money. Our mystery donor, who is very, very kind, very generous, will match every donation you make. He will match it. So if you become a sponsor, let's say $25 a month, you will be matched by the sponsor. That's $50, and that really helps. For your sponsorship, you get loads of gifts, little wonderful gifts that throughout the month, each and every month, will serve you well if you're sincere about any kind of looking into or seeking of the way. You will find the message of the month very helpful, especially for October. It's on my Halloween gig. I think you'll find it fun. This is an annual thing that I do. You will get access to my podcast, my video cast, my commentaries twice a month, and every one of my discourses that I did for all of the TV programs, some 122 or so. They're all there for you, free of charge, absolutely for you to listen to and enjoy. So there's a lot of things you get for your sponsorship to support you in the practice of the way of the heart. And I hope that you will become a sponsor, at least make a donation. If nothing else, the sponsor will match. You can go to the website at aspire.org and make your donation there under year-end gift. And that would be a lovely thing to do and a very wonderful thing for you to do to help us. The world needs a message that is not religious, not political. It needs what Aspire can offer in the form of the TV programs and everything that I do, including my hospice work to serve humankind. Why do you teach? Why, Carol from Cincinnati, Ohio? Why? She goes into a litany of things about me and the radio program that she just doesn't understand. There's no biblical background and there's no logic and reasoning, blah, 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 blah. Carol, I am not a company guy. I don't toe the company line, so I don't feel like I'm in the business of the Bible. So I use the Bible, I use sutras, all sorts of sutras. I use the Dhammapada, the Tao Te Ching, and I love the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. It's a wonderful, wonderful way in which to awaken, to learn the process of awakening, which is really what this is all about, just a process. It's a process of awakening through the heart. And if you can awaken through the heart and you allow yourself to awaken through the heart, the goodness of your being will come out and eventually you will discover the soul, the essence of it all. But people, you know, they put me in categories like you do. Not everything in life, Carol, is in a category. Not everything pertains to the idea of religion, philosophy, politics, whatever, social status, social mores, all of that. Not everything falls into that category. I'm in the cracks, the crevices, the gap between this and that. And the reason I teach, well, there are many, many reasons, but none of them would make sense to you. The first reason is because, truthfully speaking, this is what I was born to do. I knew I was going to do something similar to this when I was a child. I came into this world this way. I cannot explain it any further than that. My devotion, my dedication to love, to the bigger picture of life is growing. And it grows by leaps and bounds each and every year. Maybe one of the things that allows me to teach is that I have this sincere dedication to the process. And as I find the process changing me, as I find the process being of great stimulus to me inwardly, I want to share it with you for those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear. I am not promoting a religion, and I am not promoting a philosophy. And you could say that everything I am saying and teaching you here is nothing new. I mean, I sell water by the river, as the old Zen saying goes. But it is in the approach of this that matters. I balance out my work with hospice, and I go there and I serve the people there who are leaving their bodies and want someone there with them as that goes through the gamuts of life. This process of awakening, this process of spiritual awakening, is something, though, quite different. It is the process of inwardly attaining to love. And that's why I teach. I teach because life is about love. Students and people are very hard-edged. You know, Jesus said there would always be these two elements in the world. He said we would always have the poor, and that means the poor, and we will always have wars and rumors of wars. And if you understand what he's talking about, I'm going to be writing a commentary on this very soon. If you understand what this all means and how this fits into the genre of worldly life and earthly living, you will start to realize deep inside that it doesn't have to be this way, and you don't have to be a part of the poor and the warring. You can transcend. And I'm very interested in transcendence. I'm very interested in looking into people and trying to maybe awaken just a little tiny part of their inner being and let it explode inside of them and take the course it's going to take, whatever that course may be, because it's always towards love. One way or another, it's always towards love. So I'm very interested in things like that. I'm interested in what makes us all tick. I'm interested in how to help oneness in this world that we live in. And in seeking oneness and seeking the way of oneness, I'm very curious about how far this can go. How much love can there be? How much insight will it take to awaken the few people that have ears to hear and eyes to see? Don't ever think for a moment, Carol, that Jesus had a huge following, because he didn't. Nor did the Buddha. He had to live out in the forest. You had to go find him. Don't think that there were legions of people, masses of people. Don't believe what you read. It just isn't true. The truth of the matter is, great masters such as Buddha and Jesus didn't have the ear of everyone. And I've always wondered, and I tell my friends and my students this from time to time, I've always wondered deep inside me how you could take a spike and put it in the hand of a man and pound it in and hurt someone who is spiritually awakened. I've never quite understood how you could do that. I couldn't do it, not only for that, but for any other person. I guess if you're driven for survival, you could, but that's not what this was all about. And I'm not being sentimentally religious about all of this. I'm just thinking there was a lot of people in that day, in that era, as there is today in this era, who do not appreciate what the awakened is or what awakening is. They just don't appreciate it. They can't understand it. For most people, it's about logic and reasoning, and that's all there is. There's nothing else. The reason I teach, why? Because I can. And that's all there is to it, just because I can. I don't know if that answers your question, but it does for me. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Bob in Florida. Greg, I've listened to you for many years. Could you please tell me what your main teaching is, Bob? Well, I don't think of it that way. Bob, I'm not that bright. I don't have an agenda. I'm not sitting here with this is where this goes and this goes and this goes. If you look at Aspire, the TV programs, and they're on the website, and you know it because you've talked about it, you will see there is kind of a flow to it. A lot of the things that I feel are deeply important are in those series. I've done series on the Beatitudes, which I consider the most precious and beautiful teachings that the world has ever seen, along with the Tao. I see the Tao and the beautiful teachings of the Beatitudes as the most essential teachings in the world. But then again, I also see the Dhammapada in the same way. So it's kind of a conglomeration. And if you look in the TV series, there is the Eightfold Path of Buddha that I've done. I've done three series on the Tao itself because it's so precious. Of course, the Beatitudes are in there. And then I have even gone into Socrates, A Life Worth Living. An unexamined life is not worth living was his one of his main teachings, and I go into that. So my main teaching is to reach love through the heart. In every one of us, there is this portal. And if you start to enter into that portal consciously into love, into the heart is the portal, you will start to emerge out the other side refined. You will have to, as I talked about passing through the fires, what it means to go through a spiritual practice. If you look at these TV programs, they're about the process of inner awakening. Is about the process of passing through the fires of our spirituality. It isn't about sitting there logically reading a book and going, oh, okay, well, I have to adopt this philosophy and that belief and this thing and that thing. It's not about that at all. It's about coming into the process of surrendering, yielding to love, not to thoughts and beliefs, but to love. And love is very nebulous to the human mind. It can't adopt it. It can't understand it. It can't emulate it. It can't do any of those things. Love is something totally different. Love is the state of our being. It is the state in which the universe lives and operates out of. It has science to it. It has art to it. It has creativity to it. It has music to it. It has all sorts of things. It's infinite. Things we haven't even discovered. Along with the way love is, we've used this power of love in very detrimental ways. Love can be a two-edged sword. And for the most part, we miss that whole shtick, because we're so busy wanting love to be as our desires, as the fulfillment of our desires, emulating our desires. And that's why we have such great difficulty with the whole thing. Once you learn the state of love and how it works within you, once you understand the beauty of it, you will understand the Tao. You will understand the Beatitudes, which were killer Beatitudes. I mean, they would not have been popular. I can see people just walking away after hearing them because you could get very depressed. After you hear the Eightfold Path and what a fool we have been and how Buddha says to us, see how you love and what has kept you from the journey, things like that. Oy vey. This can be really, 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 really challenging to a person. You know, the hardest part, Bob, is people get insulted easily and they get deterred easily. Everybody wants, I've noticed this of late, everybody wants a positive message. Positive. What does that mean? In other words, does that mean that everything has to be good? I'm telling you, if you go into the teachings of the masters, it isn't all good. It isn't all pleasant. You start to really realize what they went through to teach us. Buddha could not come into any city, for he would have been killed. So he stayed out into the country, into the forests, and had to live there. Jesus, we know what happened to him. Lhasa hid from not only his students, but people because they were going to kill him. These are not popular teachings. I've had death threats. At the end of my formal teaching career, Bob, I had to wear a bulletproof vest to go on stage. I had to have undercover policemen around me for all the death threats I was getting. So I understand. I truly do. So I did something similar to what the Buddha did. I stopped doing that formal stuff, and I started doing personal things with students, one-on-ones, and then working with small groups. It's better to work with small ones than large ones and get more done. And there's more of an example thing going on when you have small groups of people and you're working with them. So you really start to realize, self-realize inside, what the real meaning of teaching is. What is my main teaching? Transcend, transcend. Above everything, transcend. End the cycle of birth and death. That's my main teaching, if you really want to know. It's about ending the cycle of being born and dying, being born and dying. Transcend the body. Transcend the common thinking. Transcend. And achieve something in this lifetime that is extremely valuable, the soul, which most people never achieve. They never become the soul. They flirt with the idea of it because they have some romantic idea that everybody just has a soul. No, that's not true. That is not true. We have access to the soul, but we are not the soul. And as you go on and you move on into this experience of life over and over and over again, you'll start to see repetition. And in that repetition, you will also see how you and I have lived in that repetitious movement of hate and fear to nauseam, never achieving anything of the heart. The most important thing you will ever achieve in this world is the heart. To come to terms with our hearts and to begin the process, which I'm going to next year. My whole year and maybe the year after even will be dedicated to the achievement of the soul, to coming to the place of awakening and the soul. I don't know if my students are up for it. I don't know if they can do it. I could probably say, you know, this person isn't, but that's not the point. To me, it's all about the achievement of the soul. And achieving that soul, you awaken to the great beauty of your life. They will understand far more in this upcoming year of 2019 by working on the soul through the heart than they will in doing anything in their life. You leave money when you die. You leave your house when you die. You leave your possessions when you die. You leave everything that your body wanted and needed when you die. But the one thing you can take with you through death is the soul. It is the essence of it all. But it requires sacrifice and the willingness to live beyond the concepts of belief and theory. I don't know if that helped you, but I hope that that answered your question, and please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. What is it to teach what we all ignore? Ted, he does not tell me where he lives. It doesn't bother me that you don't get it, Ted, or that you choose to ignore it. What bothers me is when, after all of the things that I have taught, and you can go on the website and see it all, after all the things that I have taught, and you continue to ask the same questions over and over and over again, and the same questions are, why is this happening to me? How can I stop it? I want a better life, blah, blah. I want it to be positive, that kind of thing. That gets a little hairy at times, because I've answered these questions for you and the public, and you come at me again and again and again with the same questions. Your resistance to it all doesn't bother me, because that's your gig. That's your karma you have to deal with. What bothers me is you don't learn. You just don't learn. You don't see the bigger picture. You don't see why things happen the way they do. And when you are given the chance to really do something magnificent, you ignore it. You just go, oh, okay. And then you forget it. And the reason you forget it is not because you're stupid, because you're not. The reason you forget it is relevance. People have no sense of relevance with anything that is spiritual because they don't like it. I'll tell you part of the reason why. This is just a small part, but it's an easy one to remember. Every time you associate Jesus in your mind, you will associate him with being killed on a cross. That turns you off very deeply. And in the unconscious mind, this turn off reigns supreme. No one wants to get on a cross. I don't want to get on a cross. Nobody wants to get on a cross. And yet you hear Jesus say, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you are not a true follower. You're not a disciple. So you have to understand there is this part of us that goes, no, 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 no. I don't want to be in that. I don't want that to happen to me. I'd rather do things that are positive and only live to be positive. That's all we want. We have to be realists. Now, in the inner work, are you going to be hung on a cross? No. But you're going to have your very difficult times that'll make you feel like you have. One of the things Jesus said in the Gnostic Gospels, he said, when you find, you will be troubled. And that is very true. Even for me today, I get troubled at things I never expected to be troubled by or for, because there it is. Something new has arisen that I didn't realize. So the essence of it all is forgiveness. So you ask me, Ted, what is it to teach what we all ignore? It is to live in this world. I'm not for everyone. I don't try to be. I just don't try. I teach that which would help you immensely. I follow a way in my own personal life that sustains that and can with you too. It all depends. Are you willing? Can you do that? Can you live in that manner? if you can, if you're willing of this, much goodness is yours. Believe me, it is. Thank you for your beautiful question, Ted. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Thank you for your beautiful questions. And if you have any, you know how to get a hold of me. Greg@aspire.org. Go to the website. You can email me from there. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste.